2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, page 1367. If you're using the Bible under the seat in front of you, we'd love to have you pull that Bible out, read along with us. 2 Timothy 3:1. Father, I pray that you would bless this time now as we look into your word. We pray that these words would come alive. Lord, we're so grateful for your word because your truth stands in such contrast to what this world puts forth as truth. And we want to know your truth. We want to know what you've said is true. We don't want to be deceived by this world. Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to understand what you have for us this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are looking at Paul's eschatology here on Sunday mornings, which means we're looking at what Paul wrote and taught about the end of the world, the last day scenario. I'm taking you to different passages in the New Testament and his letters where he writes about the subject, and he does write about it often. It was a big, important subject to Paul, as it is to many of us today, the last day scenario. Well, here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is describing for us what the mainstream society in general will look like during the last days. The last day society. And look what he writes beginning in verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. 18 scary, ugly characteristics of what people in general will look like during the last day. Last week, we looked at 5 characteristics that clearly show us that the last day society will be a godless society. This morning, I want to look at 4 other characteristics, and I'd like to begin with the very first one on the list there in verse 2. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. The last day society will be comprised of a lot of self-loving people. People who are madly, deeply, passionately in love with themselves. And as such, they will be selfish, self-centered, self-promoting, egotistical, on and on and on. People who love themselves consider themselves to be the center of the universe. They expect admiration and attention. And they will do whatever is necessary to elevate self, even if that means manipulating others, hurting others, losing relationships, and acting irresponsibly. Self-loving people. Imagine the problems that come when most of the people are like that. The mental health community has given us a term, which I think perfectly fits that term, lovers of themselves. Narcissism. How many of you heard that term, narcissism? And in fact, the mental health community has come up with a mental disorder that they've called the narcissistic personality disorder, NPD. Here's a definition of NPD right from the Mayo Clinic website. NPD is a mental condition in which people have an inflated sense of their own importance, a deep need for excessive attention and admiration, troubled relationships, and a lack of empathy for others. And then the website goes on to list the symptoms of those who have NPD. So people with NPD can have an exaggerated sense of self-importance. They can have a sense of entitlement and require constant, excessive admiration. They can expect to be recognized as superior, even without achievements that warrant it. They can exaggerate achievements and talents. They can be preoccupied with fantasies about success, power, brilliance, beauty, or the perfect mate. They can believe that they are superior and can only associate with equally special people. They can monopolize conversations and belittle or look down on people they perceive as inferior. They can expect special favors and unquestioning compliance with their expectations. They can take advantage of others to get what they want. They can have an inability or unwillingness to recognize the needs and feelings of others. They can be envious of others and believe others envy them. They behave in an arrogant or haughty manner, coming across as conceited, boastful, and pretentious. And they can insist on having the best of everything, for instance, the best car or office or whatever. Do you know anybody like that? Do you see any indication of NPD in American society? Self-loving people. I believe it's all over society. In fact, experts, and by experts I mean secular experts, this isn't me talking to you as a Christian pastor. Secular experts have said that the younger generation has a real problem with narcissism. By younger generation, we mean teenagers, even middle school, 20-something and 30-something. And again, I want to share, this isn't me coming at you, younger generation. Secular experts have said that the younger generation today is the most narcissistic generation we have ever seen in history. Big problem. They tell us that there are many young men and women who are just completely immersed in their own worlds. Many young men and women are living irresponsible lives because they're waiting to become rich and famous overnight. I'm going to be the next rapper. I'm going to be the next Justin Bieber discovered on YouTube. I'm going to be this influencer on social media. I was watching a documentary on this very subject a couple weeks ago, and this young man who was convinced that he was going to be famous was being interviewed. And this young man actually said, "I need people to experience me. I need people to feel me, to partake of the energy that I radiate. I am famous. It's just a matter of when." Wow. Many employers today are having a hard time hiring people out of the younger generation because a lot of young people come into it with this sense of entitlement. They think they should enter the company as the CEO, making the six figures. Young person, you got to work for many years, demonstrate loyalty and hard work and faithfulness and success. Yes, there is a ladder to climb, and you got to go one rung at a time. But a lot of people feel, hey, it's me. There are a lot of young people that are completely insensitive in their self-absorption. Several months ago, a 48-year-old single mother informed her two teenage children that the cancer in her breast had returned and it was more aggressive than ever. And the son asked incredulously, "What does this mean?" "I'll tell you what it means," her daughter interjected angrily. "It means we're not going to Fiji for Easter." True story. Self-loving, self-consumed people making up the last day society. Now, where has this come from? Why is the younger generation struggling with this? Well, I think there's many things that have converged here recently. I mean, for years, we're bombarded all day long with love yourself, buy this product because you deserve it, right? You need to be more beautiful. You need to be better than everyone else. I even think of some of the most popular products on the market, things like the iPhone, the iPad, the iMac. Me, mine, I. For many years now, psychologists have been telling us that we need to build up self-esteem. That we need to find ourselves and like ourselves and accept ourselves. And a lot of psychologists have told parents that we need the biggest thing that you can instill in the heart of your kids is self-esteem. Make sure they feel loved and accepted. And so a lot of parents feel like, well, they can't discipline their kids. They can't challenge their kids. And in a lot of families, the kids rule the roost, right? They're on this pedestal. Oh, look at my baby. And you bow before them. Keep them up. Self-esteem. We've built it up. Certainly. But by far, I think what has fueled this exponentially in this generation has been the technology and the social media that we all live with day by day. Okay, we got the phones. We can take the selfies, right? Selfie. Look. Look what I'm wearing today. Snap. Look, here I am in the gym. Snap. See how good I look? Snap. Look at this steak I'm about to eat. Snap. What's up with that? And then I want you to think about it, especially how it's impacted the younger generation, this first generation that's grown up with social media and that all-important like button. Take your shot, do your story, put your post, and wait breathlessly to see how many likes you get. And I'm telling you, it's serious stuff. Middle school, high school, kids compete with each other who can get the most likes. If kids don't get enough likes that they think they should get on a post, they'll delete it so no one else will think that they're lame. There are kids, and I've had three of them, who in high school knew the best time to post a story. Because that would be the time when you could get the most likes. Here I am, like me. Don't you love me? I think it's created a big problem. One Australian psychologist said, it's like the kids want everyone to go clap, clap, clap over everything they do all the time. They're not achieving for their own sense of accomplishment. It's for the applause and approval of others. It means no one is really content because it's impossible for everyone to clap all the time. They don't seem to grasp the reality. We don't need everyone to clap. Maybe just a few, like your partner, your parents, your godmother, or whatever. Does it really have to be your 17,000 friends on Facebook? Clap, clap, like. It's a huge problem. Now, younger generation, I'm not just picking on you, and I'll bet there's some here that are not a part of that, I would hope, but you need to be aware that this is what the secular counselors are saying of your generation. Parents, this is what's going on. Young Christian man, young Christian woman, these are the very things with many that many of your friends struggle with. But the truth is, it's gone way beyond the younger generation. All of us have become more narcissistic. There was a guy that I just had to stop following this guy. Here I am with my new sports car. Here I am, every single meal. Here I am for breakfast. Here I am in my closet. Look at all the shoes I own. Just one after another. 65-year-old guy. Christian brother. It's all over the place. You know, I think it's even gotten into the Christian community. Okay, so on the Facebook and the Instagram and all that, there's some very powerful Christian celebrities, have millions of followers, and they post two or three times a day. Now, I would hope that they're wanting to make the Lord known. And I do know some very popular men and women of God that I respect and I follow, and I think they're doing a good job of using social media to make the Lord known. But it better not be about building a cult of personality and building a brand, building a name. Be careful. And we better be careful as Christians that we're not posting everything we do to the Lord. Hey, look, here I am feeding the poor. Clap for me. Look, here I am at this outreach. Clap. Look at me, I'm preaching before hundreds. Clap. Now, I think most of us as Christians, when we post stories like that, we're excited about what the Lord's doing. Or maybe we want to encourage other people to be a part of what's going on. Make sure it is about that. And not you trying to get a little bit of attention. Look how spiritual I am. And I got to tell you, there is a lot to be said for quietly, silently serving Christ behind the scenes with no attention whatsoever. You know, there is great reward in heaven for that. And I will say this as well. There used to be a time where we lived in the moment, where you were just with your friends right there, enjoying one another. Or you're part of an outreach, or you're on a mission trip. You're just in the moment, be in the hands of Christ. Do you have to go Facebook Live with it? Gang, important for us to think about those things. In the last day society, people will be self-loving. And I believe we live in a time where there's these things that fuel it. Let's look at another word. Men will be lovers of themselves, verse 2. Lovers of money, boasters, proud. People will be proud in the last day society. Huperrephanos, huper, the Greek word, above, phrino, to shine or to show. In the last day, people will show themselves above. They'll shine above. They'll be show-offs. They'll be arrogant. They'll flaunt themselves. Look at verse 4. I want to show another word. Traitors, headstrong, haughty. That's the third word. That's a Greek word that literally means to be puffed up, to be inflated. The exact English equivalent to this word could be the swollen-headed. The big head, the person who has an inflated sense of their own importance and accomplishment. Prideful, arrogant, showy people. Making up the last day society. Now this thing, pride, man, this is something that it starts in your heart. Pride and arrogance in your heart. And you know, there are people who really believe in their own minds and hearts that they are better than anyone else. There are people who have a kind of contempt for everyone except themselves. They just really think they're better. They're awesome. And it's inside, and then it begins to show itself on the outside. So these are the people who exude pride. You can see it in the way they walk, the way they carry themselves. Oh, I don't know, in the way they treat waiters at a restaurant. In the way they treat friends, in the way they treat coworkers. And sometimes it can be very, very ugly. And they won't even notice it. Pride has been called a sickness that everyone easily recognizes except the person who has it. And so don't be deceived yourself. Is there pride in you? Do you think you're the cat's meow? Do you walk around and do you expect a lot of special treatment because you're you? That's pride. It's arrogance. And let me say this, pride is a very serious sin in the scripture. In fact, pride was the sin of Satan. Did you know that? Lucifer was cast out of heaven and became Satan because pride was found in him. Remember, Lucifer's, I'll be like God. I'll be like the Most High God. And God kicked him out. Satan used pride to tempt the human race to fall into sin. Think about that. Adam and Eve are in the garden. You can eat of every tree, God said, except for this one. Don't eat of that. If you eat of that one tree, you shall surely die. And so Satan, the serpent, comes along to get them to eat of that one tree. And Eve says, no, we can't eat of that tree. We'll die. And Satan said to her, you will not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Hey, you want to be like God? Pride. And if you think about it, pride is the foundation of every sin. I don't need to listen to God. I'll be God. I'll live my own life. I'll do it my way. I'm better. Understand something else about this thing called pride. God absolutely opposes it. I mean, if there is one thing that you could have in your life that God will fight you over, it's pride. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, same word used here, but gives grace to the humble. That's strong. God resists the proud. It's like a boxing ring. You're in one corner, God's in the other. And he's coming at you. My brother and sister in Christ, his people will be humble. In the last days, a bunch of self-loving, arrogant, prideful people. Now, I want you to see one more word in verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters. Boasters. Now that sounds a lot like proud and haughtiness, doesn't it? But I separated that out because it's a little different. This word for boast has an idea of some falsehood to it, some deception. In fact, it's got an interesting history. It's the Greek word alazon, and I looked into it. This word, way back when, was used to speak of one of those wandering, traveling medical quack doctors. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that traveled all over the place and they boasted of all sorts of things that they had, which they couldn't produce. The alazon was someone with no qualification at all, who traveled round the country with medicines and spells and methods of exorcism, which he claimed were remedies for all diseases. And he boasted of the virtues of all of his medicines everywhere he went. See, so the boaster here is not the one who boasts about what he could boast about, something that he has. The boaster here is someone who runs around boasting about what he doesn't have. The idea is that in the last days, there will be people who love themselves so much, they'll live in a fantasy world of who they think they are. and they boast about things that they don't have and put on a big facade. That's scary. Everybody wants to be popular on Instagram and Facebook, and they all want to be influencers and have lots of followers. Did you know you can buy friends? And a lot of people do. You can buy likes. I checked it out. For a little over $100, you can buy 2,500 friends for your Facebook account and your Instagram. You go somewhere on the black market, you get them. And all those 2,500 friends won't become your friends overnight, because then the algorithms would show that to be false. What they do is, over the next 3 or 4 days, 2,500 friends. Can you imagine in 3 or 4 days you have 2,500 followers? And then you can buy your likes. You can buy comments. You can buy views of your video on YouTube. A lot of people are doing that. In fact, it's estimated some of the big celebrities on Instagram, you know, the ones that have millions of followers, it's estimated that 50 to 60% of their followers are bots, B-O-T-S, made up people, made up friends, made up likes, made up comments. A lot of people are creating facades of themselves using social media. And listen, man, the posts can be fabricated. There are influencers out there taking pictures of themselves supposedly in a 5-star wherever, and they're in their backyard in a little kiddie pool that they put rose petals in. I kid you not. There is a fake private jet hull that you can get in LA where you can take pictures that show, that acts like you're on a private jet, booked around the clock. Look at me, here I am on the private jet. Look how rich I am. Look how many friends I have. Look how many likes I've got. Oh, use me now to sell your product. Self-love. People like that. Comprising most of the last day society. In the last day of society, people will be self-lovers. They will be proud. They will be haughty. They will be social quacks, boasters. So are we living in the last days? Well, I'll tell you, there's always been self-loving people, right? Ever since there's been a human being, there's been a human being who loves himself in a fallen world. But in the last days, everything gets over the top. Everything's excessive. It's like it all comes to a boiling point. Are we seeing that? Very possible. Now, I'm going to say this at the end of my messages, like I did last week, and I'm going to do right now, and probably for the next several weeks. As Christians, we're the pushback. We're the salt. We're the light. Our lives should look nothing like this. Nothing. This world says that we should promote self, exalt self, love self. Who are we to love as Christians? Jesus told us in Matthew 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all of your soul. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love the neighbor, your neighbor as yourself. meaning the exact way that you would want to be treated by someone else, that's how you should treat them. Jesus even takes it up a notch, and in his commandment, remember, he said, you shall love one another as I have loved you. We're to love God. We're to love others. That's what people should see in our life. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Do you see how backwards it is? We're to live for others. We're to love God. Again, this world says, look out for number one, take care of number one, exalt self. Listen to what Jesus said to us as Christians in Luke chapter 9. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. The world says, promote yourself. Jesus says, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Don't think about self. I mean, when you got a bunch of people looking at themselves all the time, you're headed for disaster. It's ourselves that get ourselves in problems, right? In fact, one author said the essence of Christianity is not the enthronement, but the obliteration of self. Deny yourself, Jesus said. Live for him. Now here's what's really, really awesome. Jesus said, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. The idea is, if you deny yourself, and if you live for Jesus and you want to live for others, you'll find life. You'll live abundantly. You'll live richly. There's all the satisfaction. There's the peace. There's the joy. Deny yourself and you'll find life. Live for Christ. Love him first. Love others. You'll find life. And I'll tell you what, man, as the salt and light, we need to live like that. And we need this world to see people who are really content, satisfied, filled with real joy, not a superficiality. It's the best witness you can be. Be the salt. My brother, my sister in Christ, don't live this way like we've just read. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. And that's where you'll find meaning and joy. And that's where you'll be the best witness that you can be. Let's ask the Lord to help us do that, shall we? Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your example. How you came to this earth selfless. You did not come to serve, but to serve, and to give your life away as a ransom that we could be forgiven. You're the humble servant. May we be that way as well. Lord, I do pray that we would live in stark contrast to a self-centered world. We'd be other-centered, Lord. Help us. It takes us depending upon your Spirit, Lord. But help us to be different. Forgive us when we get so caught up. Then, Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning or who might be listening online. Maybe you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know what? Maybe you look at your life and it's been very selfish. You've been very self-centered. I get it. People are looking for meaning. They want to be safe. They want to feel accepted and loved. But I'll tell you, if you're totally focused on yourself, you'll be disappointed. And there's not enough things in this world that can make you content. You'll always be wanting more. Jesus loves you more than you love yourself. He died for you. He left heaven, came to earth, and died for you, and rose again. He gave his life that your sins might be forgiven. Invite him to be your Lord and Savior right now. Become Christ-centered, not self-centered. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Place your faith and trust in him right now. Let him wash away all of your sins and give you a brand new start. If that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. If that's your heart, God will listen to your cry. Just cry out to him in faith right now. Say, Lord Jesus, take my life, wash away all my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Be my Lord. Take the steering wheel in my life. Help me to live my life loving you and loving others. Change me. Let's all stand together, shall we? After the service, you could come right up here in the front and you could say, hey, Pastor Terry, I prayed that prayer. Or you could say that to anybody else that's going to be up here in the front. We'd love to know about it. We'd love to pray with you and for you and help you. And if you prayed that prayer online, we do ask that you would get in touch with us, call our office, send an email. Let's sing this last song together, shall we?